Hello and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. We are in your ear and ready to talk some music. Today we have Molly Diago and we also have Waylon Revis. So now, first off, Molly, why don't you tell us how you came to be on We Talk Music?
Sure. So basically, I was a guitar player for a really long time. I played in a lot of different rock bands and such. In sort of from those connections that I made, I acquired some, you know, really good management, and I decided to sort of branch out on my own and put out sort of a solo effort. And so this is sort of in support of my first solo release, which the album's called Certifiable. It's actually an EP. And then how Waylon is here, there's the single off of Certifiable. It's called Lifetime, and it features a duet between me and Waylon Revis. So that's sort of the very expedited version, but that's how we got here.
And so, Waylon, then you sang for Mushroom Head, and then now you've also got your own band, A Killer's Confession. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. I've been doing AKC for 2 years. I was in Mushroom Head for like 12. And, you know, it's like I went a completely different direction than I was when I was in Mushroom Head, which surprised a lot of people. But a mutual friend, Waylon, I'm getting credit right now, introduced Molly and I together. And that's how this came about. And I'm really, you know, happy to be here. And, you know, I never really saw myself doing a duet with a great team of vocalists like Molly ever. So I'm like, still in a shock that I, you know, even do that type of song.
Okay. So, so I guess really one of the first questions is like, I know that that a lot of the news had come out. So you were going to be doing the song Lifetime with Hugo Ferreira from Tantric, and now Waylon's in.
I knew that question was coming.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, I was working with Tantric as a guitar player. This was late 2017, and I sort of befriended Hugo, which was, you know, great and terrible in so many ways. you know, we developed a friendship, and at a time he was, just writing, you know, in the process of writing his record. And so we did some writing together, and after trials and tribulations, of the whole Tantric, deal with me playing with them, it didn't work out very well. At the end of the day, like, Hugo kind of felt bad about how things turned out. So I remember when he went to Detroit, he was working with Chuck Alkazian, who is a phenomenal producer. His studio is Pearl Sound, like I said, up in Detroit, who they're freezing today as well. And Hugo called me in May. Like I said, he was recording his studio album that just came out, Mercury Retrograde. And he's like, hey, Molly, why don't you come out and, like, let's work on this duet. So I flew out there, and the next day we wrote and sort of recorded the song. And so we had all the stuff ready to go. He actually came out to my hometown of Vernon, New York a couple months later to shoot a music video and everything. And it just was sort of a struggle to, make the two schedules work. And like creative differences, I guess, along the way of how we're to promote this and stuff. And he's really busy with, his record, Mercury Retrograde, which is out and touring now. So I just kind of decided, let me, you know, think of how I can, I mean, this is my first release, so I'm, you know, really excited about it. And so it was just like, I wanted someone that's going to be, you know, able to sort of, you know, participate and, you know, really be excited about it and be able to dedicate the time to it. And Hugo just wasn't able to do that. So I was in a really dire situation. I was pretty upset at the time too, because it just sucks. And it's like Christmas morning, you know, your first release, it's waiting to open those presents. And, so I reached out to a friend. I kind of vented to my friend. His name is Brandon Wheeler. He's actually the guitar player of Granny Four Barrel. He's a great player, by the way. And he's like, well, hey, I know this guy who just might be able to help you out. So in comes Waylon, you know, by literally an act of God. He was just, it was like a 360 or a 180, whatever it's called. You know, Waylon was so excited about it. he's super busy with AKC and everything else, but he still made time for me and this project. And, you know, he believes in the music and he sounds great. Like, honestly, it just to listen to the difference in recording, like, it's fantastic. Everybody's super excited about it, even more than they were. So Waylon really came in to save the day. And like I said, he's just the voice, and it's like, he's saying it's a new style for him, but man, you can't tell. He sounds so professional and fantastic on it. It's very, you know, modernized rock, and we think it's going to have a much better shot at radio airplay with Waylon on the track anyway. So he blessed us with his vocals, and I mean, it sounds like a different song in the best way that it possibly could. So we're super excited, and I'm so fortunate, you know, that Waylon was able to step up and really take this over. So that's sort of the story. That it's been a very long 2 years, year and a half. It's been such a long process. And I mean, me and Hugo remain friends, but like I said, just differences of opinion and sort of scheduling, you know, just didn't work out. But I mean, it turned out for the best, because now, you know, we have Waylon. I mean, I wouldn't have ever dreamed of being able to, you know, sing with such a legend, you know, so it's great. I'm super excited.
Thank you.
How many times? That brings the big question of Waylon. How many times have you been called both a legend and an act of God?
you know, it happens every once in a while, and I don't know what to say. I don't really. It's an honor to get called that. You know, it's like, I think back, you know, how long I've been doing this, and I forget, because I still enjoy what I do. And with Molly, you know, it's like Molly came to me, and I have my own vocal studio in my home, and I'm working on the new Taylor's Confession record right now. And, you know, just, you know, she's like, Brandon, can you get this done? And I put everything I had aside and went and just really focused on what she did. And then, you know, about an hour later, I had a whole finished product.
It was crazy. Just to expand a little on that, we were waiting for the go-ahead for sure, you know, from my management to make sure that we, you know, had the time to budget to sort of change everything, because my release date was supposed to be in 2 weeks, and here we're going to change the whole thing that we've been working on for 8 months. So as soon as we got the go-ahead, I remember I called him, and it was like 6 o'clock at night, and by like 7:05, he'd call me, hey, did you get the Dropbox? Did you get the tracks? I sent him, oh my God. And in retrospect, like I said, working with the previous vocalist, like even to schedule an interview or something, it took 10 back and forth over 12 days. So here's this guy who's, I mean, in my opinion, you know, such a rocker. And he's got this done for me in an hour. It was incredible. And like I said, just I've never even heard of somebody being, and I mean, the track sounds so quality too, like how you could produce that so quickly and efficiently. It was amazing. It was definitely amazing, and it wowed everybody on my team for sure.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it sounds fantastic in that regard. And I'll say, like, I mean, there's nothing to take away from Hugo. But yeah, Waylon, I think you have an excellent voice, and I think that your voice may even be more suited towards the song after hearing the version with Hugo's vocals in it.
Well, thank you. You know, it's like I listened to what Hugo did, and I will be honest, I liked it. You know, it's like I listened to it, and had a real. But you know, when I went to go do it, I didn't want to be a carbon copy. You know, I didn't want to just do what he did, and I came in and I was just, but I had to keep it to the same quality. You know, so I had to really just do that, and then I just started thinking. I was like, well, I've got to be me. And, you know, I have my own studio pretty much set up. I don't record for other people. You know, I would always just record my vocals. And so I have everything preset to where it really just, you know, I know my voice and I know how to record my voice. And that's what made it so easy. The parts were there and, you know, and everything. And I could hear Molly's voice. And I was just like, well, if I do this, it'll really accentuate her and make Molly sound, because I mean, I came into the track and I'm a guest, but you know, being the fact that I get having your first single and that excitement, like Molly said, like Christmas morning, you want to open that present, you can't wait. And I really just kind of went in with thinking that you know, let's make her sound like $1 million and do it the best way I see fit. And I mean, a few changes here and there, but, you know, I really approached it to make her sound, she has a wonderful voice, I love her voice, but I really wanted to accent that and make her stand out even more. And I was very happy that that happened, because I felt like the chorus really started standing out. She took the lead on it. And I felt like I was very good accompaniment for her. And I just sonically, it just made sense to me, you know. And like I said, this is her track, and I want to help her. You know, I've been in this position, and it was, and I want to make her, you know, I don't want her to put her trust in me, and then I flop and make her sound like crap. And then, you know, you don't want to do that either. But I understood that there was time. You know, there was no time. I had to go, and I kind of do what I do sometimes and just follow my gut on what the song said and how it felt. And thank God I was right.
Just the thing, like, one of my friends who actually, I think, was on your show maybe last week, his name's Chris Caffrey. He listened to the track, and he's like, wow, you know, this really sounds like your voice is sort of almost sort of like married together. Like, it just, you can hear sort of the emotion still come through from both of our voices, which, you know, such, it was just such a great combination. So, like I said, he did great work in a very short amount of time.
What we did last week.
Yeah, we did. We did it last week, and here we are. And that, you know, so it's been a roller coaster and a really fast one. But I mean, I'm happy that we got to this point, you know.
Molly, it is your track, so you're working with this singer who's, as you say, a legend and an act god. I don't want to forget that part. That's important that we sort of you know, get that in there. But so how much back and forth is there? And you telling him what you want, or just kind of let Waylon do his thing, and how much back and forth conversation is there about what the vocals will be like?
Sure. So actually, technology is a crazy thing. But so the first, you know, I wanted Waylon to not be Hugo. I wanted him to be Waylon, just like he said. You know, I wanted him to add his, you know, his style and charisma in there. So we kind of just said, you know, go do it, you know. And as he was recording, he was video chatting me, which was new for me, you know. But great. So sort of as we were going through it, like, there are some parts, you know, where we were kind of collaborating over video chat. And like I said, it was all done in an hour, so very little. But I mean, other than, you know, that little collaboration that we had, which was so cool, like, he was really able to find a feel that fit his voice all on his own and really quickly. So, I mean, that's another reason I'm fortunate. It's great to work with a musician who doesn't need direction, you know, a musician who just has a feel for it and can bang something out like that so fast, you know. But I mean, it was very cool and very 21st century to be video chatting while he's recording some of it, you know. But that's one just from the memory books, I guess.
I remember being in my PJs doing that too.
Yeah, yeah. The flannel bomb, right?
Well, I mean, let's give credit where credit's due to, Molly. I mean, Julie had a big part to do with that too. You and Julie have played up, and just like my wife is my backbone and everything. And Molly has been in touch with Julie constantly. I'd be out doing my daily thing, and I'd come home and go, like, Molly, you should do this and this and this. And I got to sit ready here, you know. My wife is definitely the reason it can get done too. She stays on. She's got that whip in my butt crack.
You know. That's the thing, like, we definitely, Julia's unsung hero here. She coordinated all of this, you know. I think we talk every day, pretty much just about every day over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, she's been awesome. And I mean, even her, like, I feel like she was, like, sort of had a creative edge in it too when you were recording. At least that's, I mean, she was coming up with ideas. This sounds better than this, you know. She's awesome. I love her.
Oh, she knows me, and she sits in the studio with me. Like, I got my half of the office, and she's got her half of the office in the studio booth, and she will sit over there, and I'm working on stuff, and she'll come up and just, you can do that better, don't do that for us, you shouldn't do that. And then she'll go back to doing whatever she's doing. She's like my first go-to of, like, no, that's not good. And it's just come back doing everything.
Thank you. So, yeah, definitely a team effort to get all of this done really fast. You know, nobody really, I mean, everybody really put their best foot forward to try and get this done as fast as possible to keep on track and on schedule, you know?
So we've heard a version of the song. So, of course, as we mentioned, as Brett mentioned, we've heard a version of the song, and we do really like it. We think it's, I agree, it's got a really good chance to be on the radio. So, I mean, this obvious question, what's the inspiration for Lifetime?
Well, you know, I mean, me and Hugo wrote this song really fast, really quickly as well. Like I said, I flew in, and the next day we had a day in the studio to do it. So, I mean, we just kind of sat down, and we had, like, our friendship up to that point, it had so many sort of ups and downs and conflicts that, you know, whether we wanted to strangle each other or hug each other, like, it was just, you know, it was just so much emotions in one room together, two really, you know, creative people, because this is what we do. So, I mean, the song is about, you kind of only have one true love in this life, at least from our perspective. We could be very wrong, but, and the song kind of captures, like, the way that you know if that person is the one. I mean, if you stay together, you're the happiest person in the world forever. But if you don't, like, you compare everybody else sort of back to that one person. And sometimes, you know, we say forever, but forever doesn't always happen. So I think Lifetime is sort of a song to bring that nostalgia of sort of, you know, either your first love or your one and only love or whatever, and, you know, hope that love actually wins. And regardless if you're back together or not, you know, you find happiness.
Oh, that's cool. That's excellent. And by the way, just so you know, I feel like strangling Brett most of the time, so I get it.
we don't have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, but I still want to strangle you most of the time.
That's fair.
Well, you know, I mean, friendships and the best friendships and the best relationships in life, nothing is going to be perfect. And if it's perfect, something's wrong. You know what I mean? And so it's just kind of finding someone that you could be crazy with and it'd be okay, you know? So I guess everybody can relate to that, whether it's, you know, like I said, a friendship or like Brett and Mo, for instance. Next time somebody asks me, I'm going to tell them that you're my inspiration. So.
Well, you know what? And odds are, at least your next song will be inspired by us.
Right.
So is this song kind of representative of what we're going to get on the rest of Certifiable?
Yes and no. There's a couple tracks on there that are a bit heavier, for sure. And then there's a couple tracks that aren't. But really, when I was writing this record, I was going through a lot of up and down things. And a lot of things had to do with my whole tantric situation in Hugo. So a lot of songs that came out of stress, there's some, you know, tongue-in-cheek, you know, sort of screw you songs. I don't know if I could say that, but I just said.
You can say whatever the hell you like.
It's a podcast. What the hell? Say whatever you want.
You mean I was watching my mouth for nothing?
Nothing. No damn reason. Fuck it.
So, you know, I just think a lot of the songs, I had a lot of, like, built up, you know, either passion or frustration, and I just kind of let it go. I actually got to set up a studio in Connecticut over the summer that I wrote it. So I just, you know, got in the studio and let out what I was feeling, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because passion, one thing that we know is passion just brings so much to music. And I think, and passion can come from so many different sides. And I think that, you know, it sounds to me like that's something that you were able to really channel into the song and into the recording. So I think that shows when you listen to the song.
And then, of course, then Waylon, you have to match that because you know that you can hear it too. And what she's done, I suppose.
Oh, God. That was a big thing. And that was another step for me. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I don't think I've ever wrote any love songs. No, she's shaking her head. No, she's working. No, but no love songs for me. So it was definitely a new territory for me. But being that, you know, I love music and music is universal. It really doesn't matter what style, you know, what it is. There's always some kind of passion there. There is. Whether it's anger or sorrow, love, hate, you know, doesn't matter. But all music has it, well, at least good music has that passion. And it's just listen to lyrics. And really, I felt like Hugo, and I felt there was more sorrow in the male and then the female. Like, you know, who knows? You know, you got to work on it. You know, it's like, and I felt like, okay. And I just listened to it. And I had to gather that off lyrics. You know, just like what was being said. And just like thinking about, well, how would I say this if I was in this position? And how would I convey this? And it really was. And it's like, you need to be, okay, I messed up. You know, I'm sorry. And have that little bit of frustration in with it, which is the more heavy vocal that I put in there. It was that frustration of, like, I want this back.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of the big things that came into play during this is, you know, and this is before we even had a line of vocals from Waylon, was when we did the song, like, of course, getting it together and recording it all in the same day when we and Hugo, you know, were in the same studio together, like, we had so much channeled energy, sort of, and I'm not a person who's all, like, you know, artsy fartsy with energy and stuff, but, like, that was the one, like, this is where the story turns into, like, a superhero, like, action film. Like, is Waylon going to be able to channel that? Because, you know, I mean, until this process, I didn't believe in it, but, like, when you're in a room with someone else and you're writing music, like, it, you just have this, like, almost connection. And so when you're recording it, especially, like, right in front of each other, like, it carries through. And you can kind of, everyone's like, oh, we could hear the passion, you know. So we're like, all right, is Waylon going to be able to, you know, totally separate 8 months later in his studio in the Arctic winds of Ohio, is he going to be able to do this? And not only was he able to, but, I mean, he exceeded any expectation that I think any of us had. So it was really fantastic. And like I said, I can't even imagine. Like, I aspire to be someday, you know, talented to be able to capture that. Hopefully this is not making, yeah, hopefully it is making sense and not just nonsense, but it was just amazing how he was able to capture, like, that passion and the feeling in it, you know, whether it's a completely different space and completely different worlds, you know?
Are you doing that?
I'm going to be honest with you, Molly. That comes with, I hate to give my age away, that comes with time and being able to watch. And I love being a watcher and watching people. I mean, I'll go to a ball and watch. And when I'm on tour, I watch people and I watch relationships. I don't realize I'm watching, but I use it for artistic to understand human emotion. And, you know, it's like, I think that's the key to a lot of what I've done is being able to watch people and convey their feelings. And being an artist, and you have it. I mean, but in the best, just comes with time. It's like the more you watch, the more you learn, the more you see other people's reactions, you're able to convey that. And especially when you do one point like I have, you'll find the best part of the day is watching people sitting in a place where they don't know you're there, or just watching the whole crowd the whole time. And just watching little interactions happen left and right. It's fun. It's the best part of the story. Like,
so, Molly, Sorry, Molly. So are you doing the lead vocals then on the rest of the tracks?
Yeah. It's just me. I'm by myself on the rest. Like I said, there's a couple heavier tracks. You know, because even Hugo and now Waylon, like, you know, I want to be able to hopefully gain some fans and keep them. So I did want to do something a little heavier, like my heavier influences, because I mean, I love hard rock all day. You know, then there's a cute, like, I don't know, pop rocky song. Like, I mean, Lifetime, it started as almost a pop rock, almost country edge, but we've definitely, you know, been able to sort of rock it up a little bit with Waylon, which has been great. So I've got a nice mix, and then it all ends off with, you know, sort of a sad piano ballad, you know, just about life and, you know, a little bit about someone special, but it just life is tough, man, being a musician. Like, they don't tell you this when you're, you know, dropping out
there's
of
no handbook.
Music, you know?
There's no handbook.
No. So
I
learned a lot of lessons in the last 2 years, and it's exhausting, but good music comes out of that, so I'm thankful, you know.
So what is the kind of like the exploration then for you as a singer? Do you go to people that you know and ask for advice, or do you Do you practice? Are you practicing that part of your primarily historically a guitar player? How is the singing portion of it on the album for you?
Oh my God, it's so scary. And yeah, I ask people all the time for advice because I feel like I'm terrible. So I'm like, are you sure? Half of the time, you know, they're just going to kiss your ass. So that's why I do it. But the other half of the time, sometimes they do give you good advice. And I have a lot of good friends that have, you know, been good. And like I said, I think Chris Cassidy, who you guys had a couple weeks ago, he's been great, you know, in sort of guiding me through the process. Because he's a singer now too, always been a guitar player. Another guitar player turned singer, his name is Ben Morrow. He's actually from Syracuse, where I'm from. He's Lionel Richie's guitar player. He's been really helpful too. So just having people who sort of understand what, because I mean, I can hide behind a guitar all day and I'm confident in guitar playing because I know I can do it well. But singing is something that takes, you know, I mean, you have to have some natural born talent. I'm absolutely convinced. And I mean, it takes a lot of practice. I mean, I'm always singing in the car, singing in the shower, every cliche thing you could do, like I'm doing it. And, you know, I'm recording a lot of different stuff for a lot of people to try and really sort of enhance my vocal range. But it's tough. It really is.
And so, well, and then do you have some advice specific for Molly? Not the advice you'd give everybody, but now that you've heard her and you've worked with her on a track, would you have something specific for her that you would say?
Follow your heart, but be smart. You know, this it's a long road, and it's very rewarding, but at the same time, it can take your dream that can become a nightmare in this. And you have to really, you know, be smart, make sound, and the key word is sound decisions. Don't let, there are people out there that just tell you yes. Don't let that fill your head. Always be out for the fans. Do it because we want to be in front of them and we're there to entertain them and be thankful that you're able to, because so many people want to and never get that opportunity. Never lose sight of that we're a very lucky group of individuals that get to this point and to get to do this and to get to see the world. And, you know, no, I have to click a 9-to-5 every day and just absolutely just hate it. Just never lose sight of that. Because in a moment, that it can all end, it can all change. You know, you could be on top of the world 1 second and on the bottom of it the next. And all you appreciate it while you're there and appreciate the people that put you there.
Absolutely. I always will. And, I mean, that's great. And, you know, even from the first time I talked to Wayland, I remember him telling me, because I'm like, why, you know, because I've dealt with so many terrible people. I'm like, why are you doing this for me? You know, why? And all he said was, look, I was in your shoes. If I can give back, I will. Now, I can't do his accent any justice, but that's pretty close. But it just shows, you know, it's so nice to see that there's people who have been in the business on a roller coaster and still have such a great heart. You know what I mean? And that's what really I aspire to be. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. And just, you know, it's music and just appreciate that we're doing it. You know, it's always fun to play and it's always fun. It's really fun to have some success, but, you know, it doesn't make, at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't make the person, what makes the good person are actions. And that just stay in mind because there's what so many rock stars stand out. And then next thing you know, you don't even recognize them because they're not even the same people, you know, and I'm just, we're not for that.
For sure. Absolutely. And I mean, I feel like I've dealt with that firsthand, you know, in a lot of these situations. So definitely great advice, you know, from a great guy.
No, that is excellent advice, Wayland. I think that's good advice for anybody. I guess, you know, that's the nice thing about getting older. You get a little bit of wisdom.
A little bit, you know, I've been doing this so long, and it's like it's being able to, even when you do make those mistakes, and we all do. We all do. You always have that moment in your career something happens, and it's the ones that are able to turn around and learn from it and make a negative into a positive are the ones to really watch. And, you know, I have some really great friends in court that have really taught me that. You know, they've had their ups and downs. They taught me to stay level, stay humble, and appreciate it. And, you know, I was telling Molly the other day about how Brian that the whole way I came to her about the song is just doing it to pay for somebody else was given to me straight from Brian Welch. and a really, really good friend of mine. And ever since then, I've tried to lead by example, because that was some greatest advice I've ever got, ever. And I love that guy for it. I mean, and it changed my life. It changed me completely, meeting him and becoming actual friends, where I could, give a phone call and talk when I had an issue. He taught me right, and he just said, always when you're given the opportunity to help someone else and get them started, don't just stay away from it, because remember, you were in that position. If you're able to pay it back and repay some favor that was made to you, and when you were coming up, you do it. Because, you might make somebody's career or their entire life. It might be the only moment they get. And if you can help bring some happiness to somebody, what's the problem?
Yeah, and he definitely has brought me a lot of happiness. And I'm super thankful that this process has been so easy, especially with the time constraints that we had, you know what I mean? So I will definitely take this with me for the rest of my life,
Well, the interesting thing to me is that you're both like just proof positive that networking works wonders for people, because I mean, just the way that you two managed to come together and to bring this whole project together, I mean, it's amazing. And I mean, as a music fan, this is the kind of story that I love, because you get to see the network, you get to see how everything builds out.
Absolutely. And I feel like who it really is. Really is a big deal, sort of doing, at least for me, who's, new, and especially with the singing and trying to make a name for myself. But definitely, if he's listening, which he might be, Brandon Wheeler, who's actually going to be my new guitar player, which I'm really excited about. He's great, and he's, he worked with Waylon in the past, and he hooked us up, so I have to give some props to him, because I'm very...
This is because of Brandon. You're right. Brandon is a sweetheart. I love that dude to death.
And he's very talented dude. And he comes from the same place that I do, so extra love to him. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my guys are across the country. You got it good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously with something like this, I'm guessing we're looking at least a lyric video or some other type of music video, or do you have something in your mind, like what's the ideal video already, that if you could film it or anything like that, what's going to happen as far as some sort of visual media to go along with the song?
So we're hoping to have a really awesome lyric video, and maybe if there's any hope for performances together in the future, to be able to implement that sort of all four and take after, the absolute matron, AKC. So hopefully we'll have something really good. It's all short notice, so my team is working really hard to get some awesome visual stuff going on that, people could share and enjoy and sort of take it to a second dimension,
Well, we need at least a picture of Waylon singing in his pajamas.
Of course. Yeah. No, you go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot.
Too busy thinking about your
song.
We definitely have to get some pictures together at least.
Oh, we will. We definitely got to go perform this thing and do it just better. That's the main thing.
Oh,
we can go out here and push this thing for you. Molly knows that I'm going to absolutely anything visually. I'm going to be there. She knows my phone is on the hip. She knows if she can't get in touch with me, she knows who to contact. She has a direct line. Her and Julie are tied to Steve. So, she's got to do it. She can't get a hold of me. She'll call Julie. But, anything, I've just kind of got my mindset on this is, I really want to see Molly have some success, and anything I can do to help, I'm going to be there. And, and I really want to perform a song with her. I love her voice. I actually want to see, because there's always another dynamic when it happens live. And I want to, we've not got to do that and got to be face-to-face yet. And I really want, I'm interested to see how that's going to turn out, because I always love doing live, and I'm really interested in doing the song because it's something so different than anything I've ever done. So I'm really interested in I feel the song. I think Molly's really strong, and I want to I want to go on stage with her and help her make it the best thing possible for her career. And, you know, and if my little bit of help can help her launch her career and make something special for her, I'm a happy man. That's the end of that.
And I'm so excited for even that chance to share the stage with a guy like Waylon. So I think it'd be great, and I think that hopefully there'll be some great videos coming in the future of us actually doing this live. And I know just growing up, I'm way more of a live music fan than recorded fan, but you know what I mean? Than the, you know, blasting the record in the car is fun, but there's nothing like the live experience. So I know that Waylon takes super well, you know, a lot of pride and also, you know, the way that he kind of runs his live experience. So I think that it would be a really great combo, and some fans are in for a really rocking treat, so to speak, you know?
I have to tone it down. I have to take my mean face off for this one. You know that, right?
Yes.
And then you know, the funny part is like a lot of people like they're listening to a lot of things, and I have a lot of you know, anger in some of the Unbroken stuff off the original album. But Molly's been lucky enough to hear some of the new stuff that we're doing, and it's
awesome. Though I mean, everybody who's listening, like, you're in for such just a, I can't say surprise because, you know, everyone knows he's fantastic, but I mean, his new stuff is sounding awesome, and I've been so lucky to be able to hear it, and I know everybody's going to love it. And like you said, it's like a new avenue for you, you know?
It is. And, it's so funny because, you know, I have been open for the last year to broadening what I have done. Because, I mean, you know, I've done the theatrics, I've done the mass battle, you know, I've done all this, you know, this live show thing and this scary character, and I've opened my heart up and my soul, and I've really reached into something else, but you have actually got me to do something that I've never done. And to me, it's just as exciting and new because I've never done it. And that's something new for me to say. Like, well, I'm not that bad.
It's just going to be another notch in my belt, you know? Revis to do something new. I'm framing that one.
That's fantastic.
You frame that one, though, you know, I'm thankful for it because, I mean, like, I'm in the middle of finishing my album, and it did inspire me. Like, it's always nice. And to actually take it outside of your own box to experience something new, because all those experiences are what lead into like growth. And as a musician, we always have to grow. And so I hate hearing a band I truly love continue to do the same thing over and over, just trying to do that same thing they did before instead of trying something new. And sometimes it fails, sometimes it's wonderful, and it's just that risk you have to take. And definitely took a risk on this one, and I'm thankful that it paid off. I'm thankful it turned out the way it did, because, I mean, even I was just like, well, I've never done a duet. And, you know, going and watching, you know, Johnny Cash, it's just like, how do you do it? So it's like, it's very new for me. And but it was such an awesome experience, but, you know, but also just wanting to help Holly. And, I mean, that's the whole thing. I really just wanted to help. I mean, I really don't want anything. I just want to see something I help succeed. And, you know, it's like, there's more payment than money in this life, and some of them are actually being able to help somebody and watch it blossom. And that's what I'm hoping for more than anything. I mean, that makes you rich for anything when you have experiences like that. And when it's all said and done, you can look back and we're like, I helped somebody. And that's really where this boils down to. It's just, you know, I feel like Molly has a really great voice, and I'm thankful for being the opportunity to help create with her. And, you know, using what I have already to help her, if anything she needs, she knows the numbers. She knows who to call. And I'll do anything I can to help.
And absolutely, and I appreciate that so much, by the way.
Okay, well, I one last real question here. When do you think the album will get released now?
So we have sort of our new release. So this song is a single, so it's going to be out first. I think the album is aiming for April 15th, I think. I might be wrong about that, but it's somewhere in April. And then the single, I think, is going to be out March 1st, which is the day before my birthday. So what a great gift, you know, to finally be able to see my music get moving, you know. So I think that that is the answer, but I'm sure that is a possibility for me to be incorrect about that. But, you know, such is life.
That's right.
That's why we met. We got managers, you know.
Exactly.
But that's why we always pencil it in. We never put it in.
Exactly. That's the truth.
Okay. Well, one thing that we do with all of our guests, we give them the chance to plug their stuff, tell people where to find them on the internet and such, so that all the listeners can go and find all this new music, buy the old music, because I'll tell you, it sounds great. And so, Molly, you go first.
I'm on all the social medias, probably social medias I don't even know that I'm on. I'm on. It's at Molly Diago, MOLLIDAGO. You know, of course, like I said, I'm sure we're on all the social media, so please follow me to keep up with updates. As my music's not released yet, but if you follow those pages, you know, you're bound to be in the know, so you know. And also, I have a website, mollydiago.com, same MOLLIDAGO.com, and you can pre-order this release now, and you can also get some cool merch and stuff. So that's me.
Waylon?
You can find me on all your typical social media. So find me on Facebook. Find me personally, Waylon Reddish. I actually got the blueprint. I'm verified. You can find me there, or you can find me Close Confession. You know, pretty much YouTube, Instagram, all the same. And then you can definitely, if you want to hear what we got, just go to Spotify. Just look up Close Confession on Spotify. You know, we appreciate that. Go give us a follow. Go give us a listen. And we would thank you for your everybody's continued support. If you like to hear, go for hit follow.
All right. Well, we appreciate both of you coming on so much. And Waylon, I know you got the new AKC album coming out soon. We'd love to have you back to talk about that if you're interested. So give that a thought.
Anytime.
All right.
Anytime, brother.
Heck yeah. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for doing what you do. Like, I'm so in love with this idea. Because, you know, you guys help make our jobs a lot easier. So we appreciate it fully for you having us.
Well, we are big fans of music, and we love hearing the new stuff. And honestly, I mean, hey, when we get to hear good music like this, then it makes it all the better. So, Molly Diago, Waylon Revis, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope that the album sells wonderfully. I hope that the single does well. And Waylon, we look forward to hearing a lot more from you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.